Guys, we have a new tier on our Patreon, and it includes exclusive bonus content. Listen up. Right now, for just $5, you get the Honeydew a day early, you get it ad-free, and you get a full bonus episode of the Honeydew with Y'all, where listeners highlight their lowlights, and it's going to stay that way. $5. And for just $3 more, you're also going to get the way back a day early and ad-free, but that's not all. You'll get exclusive bonus content with the guests, some fun segments, maybe some games, and we'd love to get you guys involved. And that's all for only $3 more. And there's no censorship on any of the Patreon episodes. Subscribe now.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Wayback, everybody. Ryan Sickler here. I want to say thank you. Starting them all like I always start them. Thank you for supporting this show, for supporting anything I do. Thank you. I love my life. I love this show. This is a show you have to watch. We're doing a great job bringing people's path to life. Kirsten and Sam are killing it, and I really love sitting back here and talking to all these guests. I'm very excited to have this guest sitting back here with me today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Eddie Bravo. Welcome to the Way Back, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Promote anything you'd like, please.
You could find me on 10thplanetjj.com. And I got a podcast called Look Into It. It's on Rumble. And I also just released an album, a comedy music album I released it a year ago. It's called Jar of Flies. And the band's name is Hook Thieves. It's available on all music platforms. Band's called Hook Thieves. Album's called Jar of Lies. It's like a parody of Alice in Chains' Jar of Flies. Mm-hmm. It's like a parody of that. And it's all joke songs. I mean, I'm singing lead, so it's a joke in that. It's just all parody songs. I got a song about climate change. I got a song about the border, you know?
All right.
Single, the video is called El Coyote. It's sung through the eyes of a human smuggler through the border. It's hilarious.
I'm going to check it out, dude.
El Coyote on YouTube. Check it out.
All right, brother. Well, before we started recording, we were just talking about things from the past, and you got so excited about something we're going to check out. This episode is dropping today is the day after Christmas, so I want to do a little bit. I'm going to start this off with some Christmas, but before we do, this seat in the back of the station wagon facing traffic, you said you have ridden in this before.
Yes, my grandfather and grandmother on my mom's side, they had 10 kids. And six women, six females, and four males. And we used to go to, being at my grandma's house was just heaven. I was always happy at my grandma's house, you know, living at my house when my stepdad was there. That's a whole nother story. But my stepdad wasn't the coolest guy ever, you know. You know, I wanted to be at my grandma's house as much as possible because my grandma and my mom, her daughter, were having kids at the same time. So I have two aunts that are the same age. Yeah. So we grew up, never like my sisters. So I couldn't wait to hang out with my sisters and play with them. Alice and Patty, love them to death. And I just wanted to hang out there all the time. And I have an older brother and a younger sister in my family. They have the same dad. I'm in the middle with a different dad. My mom got married to Alfonso Bravo, had my son, her first son, Alfonso Jr. They got a divorce. My mom's single with a boy. And then she's out partying. She wanted to be a singer. She was always going out partying. And she meets a club promoter, my dad. My dad was a club promoter, and he got her pregnant. And unfortunately, he was married and had five kids, you know? Oh. Yeah, so it was kind of like a sticky situation. So it didn't work out. So now my mom is single with two boys, different fathers. She went back and started seeing her original husband.
Got it.
And then they started dating, and then they wanted to try it again. And so, boom, we moved into a house, rented a house. Now we got this. He's my stepdad, but he's my brother, and my sister, my younger sister's real dad. So I'm like right there in the middle. And he was cool. He was like, I'll raise him. I'll support him. you know, I'm not going to really acknowledge him or anything like that. And, you know, but, you know, he wanted like pure family nights too. So there was times where it was my brother's birthday or whatever, and they left me with the babysitter. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like the happiest. It was, I understood on his end. I was a reminder of when they were away, when they were apart, you know, and
I
was I get it. It wasn't like he was like just beating me up or anything, but
your grandparents were your biological, your maternal grandparents, your mom's mom and dad?
Yeah, my mom's mom and dad lived down the street, like three blocks.
And so you'd roll with them sometime?
Yeah, so I would, and every Sunday, I'd cut the grass. My grandpa would give me $5.
Riding or push? Were you pushing or did you have a riding mower to cut the grass?
No, push. Yeah, okay. My grandfather raised 10 kids on cutting grass and doing like manual labor. Mm-hmm. So he wanted, you know, so he'd give me $5 if I mowed the front and backyard. And I'd do that on Saturdays. And then Sundays, we would go to Gemco. Do you remember Gemco?
No.
Gemco was the original Walmart.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
I don't remember.
There was a Gemco.
I'm in Maryland, and I remember we had like Sam's Club, and we had Pace. There was one called Pace.
Yeah. This is Gemco is huge. It's just like Walmart.
Okay.
There it is. Every Sunday, my grandfather and my grandmother and my two aunts that are my age, because all the other kids already moved out. It was just my grandma and grandpa and my Alice and Patty. Their daughters, my aunts, but they were the same age. They were a couple years older than me. And we'd go to Gemco in the station wagon, big brown. It was a Chevrolet something, big brown, gigantic thing. And when we'd get to Gemco, right when we walked in the front door.
And real quick, you got three in the way back and like three or four in the back seat. And then
we were scattered all over the place.
There was a bunch of people in that thing. Yeah, we were scattered. Yeah.
It was Allison, Patty, and me and my brother. Okay. My brother would come along too. My brother's 4 years older than me. And he was older than my aunts. And so he was older, I was younger, and my aunts were in the middle. We're Mexican.
Okay, go ahead. So what do you like to get at Gemco? Did you have a thing? You going to get action figures? What do you
like? So when we'd get there, my grandpa would we'd walk in and then he'd pull out his wallet and he'd give us each $2. And then my grandma would go to the grocery store section, and then we would just be wild. We would go wild and on our own, and then we'd find each other. We'd be in the men's department and the toy department. We're all over the place. And and there's a record department. Once I got into Kiss, I was always in the record department. That's where I got my first Kiss record, was at Gemco.
Really?
Yeah, Kiss.
What was it?
Kiss Alive.
Kiss Alive.
Kiss Alive.
Yeah, I remember.
Did you remember the Kiss movie?
Yeah,
Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yeah, and then I find out when I get older, it was all dubbed with, like, they quit in the middle of the movie and stuff. Do you know that?
They used a lot of doubles, but them on stage, it was really them on stage.
Yes, but I mean in the amusement park and stuff.
Oh.
Like there's a guy, like Gene Simmons growls in it and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it was the worst movie ever, but I was 8 years
Kiss
old.
Kiss Meets Phantom of the Park, yeah, I think it is. It's awesome.
It changed my life, though. Because when I saw that, I saw them on stage with their amps turned to 10, cranking out these anthems, and then the crowds were screaming and all the girls were screaming, and I'm 8 years old. I'm like, I want that much love. I need that love. You know what I mean? Because my dad wasn't really around. I had a stepdad. And then when I watched that, I was blown away. I was just completely blown away. And I'm like, I just saw the screaming fans, and this, I just wanted that. And my life was, I was on a mission to be like Kiss. So we went to Gemco. I went right to the Kiss section, and I was looking for the song Rock and Roll All Night. I'm like, I gotta find this song. So I found the song, and it was on Kiss Alive. I didn't know what live records meant or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I didn't know, I had no idea. And my aunt goes, I think this is a concert record. I go, what are you talking about, concert? So I bought it, took it home, put it on. And then in the beginning, the crowd swells in. I'm like, what is this, a football game?
Yeah.
You hear the crowd? I'm like, what is good? Then I... You know, then quickly.
You wanted the best,
and you got the best.
Hottest
band in the world, Kiss.
Yeah, hit it. That's the movie. There they are in front of the roller coaster.
No, they filmed it at Magic Mountain.
Is that where it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you know how big you have to be to have a movie after you.
So NBC.
Yep. What I was getting at was, so for Halloween, I met I met Gene at one of my shows at the Comedy Store just a couple, maybe a year or two ago. And he came back and he's like, he pointed at me and he said, "You're a very good looking, funny man." I was like, "Thank you, man." And I didn't know what to say. Any problem? This is what I said to Gene Simmons. I was like, "Dude, I was you for Halloween twice when I was a kid."
That's crazy.
And we had these Halloween masks, and they were that vinyl fuck, you know what I'm talking about? And then the mask with the rubber band
like
on the 30 back.
$30. Yeah.
That was 100% that. And then we had an Ace Frehley one, so my brother and I would switch. It was like we got 4 years out of that shit. But then look up Kiss dolls.
Yes.
Bro.
Yes.
This was something I was saying Christmas. This is our little, we're going to have some fun. Yes. Look what they're worth now. What are they worth? Get the fuck out. I mean, it's nuts. Yeah, we had these too. We would get these for Christmas. Hell, we'd be stoked to get those.
One of the most memorable Christmases ever as a child, probably the most memorable, is there was a big wheel called the Cheetah. It was a brand new type. It was the greatest big wheel ever. It's called the Cheetah. And that's all I wanted. And because...
There it is.
There it is.
I never heard of this one before.
I wanted there.
If you're listening, it's like a chopper front with the sit down on the big wheel. Yeah,
it's a chopper big wheel.
Yeah.
So my grandma and my grandpa gave me a little bit more love than they did my older brother, only because they were like, they kind of felt sorry for me because I didn't have a real, my real dad wasn't around.
Yeah.
And my grandpa actually hated my stepdad and loved my real dad.
Oh, okay.
They used to like drink tequila when he was seeing my mom. Oh. He would be hanging out with her dad, my grandpa. So my grandpa and my real dad were friends. And so, me and my brother had a big rivalry. I love him to death now. I mean, we're, you know, it's just childhood sibling rivalry, you know. But he was kind of a little bit uneasy because my grandma gave me a little bit extra, and he knew I got the Cheetah, and he was fucking jealous, dog, that I got the Cheetah. So they hid it in my aunt's room. They brought it out. It's Christmas. I unwrap it. I go, "Oh my God, I got the Cheetah."
Are you just losing your mind?
Dude, my brother jumped on it and fucking broke it.
Nah,
yes, he broke it. I never wrote it. He broke it.
Wait.
He jumped on it and broke it. He was so mad. He was so mad that I got it. Yeah.
You never got to ride it?
Never.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
No, he got it. He just took it and he fucking broke it. He broke it in half. He just slammed down on it. He goes, "Me first. I'm going on it first. Fuck that." And that was devastating. I'll never forget that. Yeah.
I thought you were about to say, "That's the day my mom and aunt killed my brother on Christmas." actually, now you just made me think of another Kiss thing too. The Kiss remote control van. So
damn, I don't remember that.
My brother did the same thing your brother did with this fucking Kiss remote control van. Right, it right here,
dude.
Remember this thing?
I don't remember it.
I got this for Christmas one year. Eddie,
I didn't
even
know that existed.
Yep, I was fucking fired.
Yo, Kiss
look
van.
At the box. It's great. It was awesome. Look at it. It's that van's badass. And it was the old school. You know, I think you press in for the up, down, and you could steer the wheels a little bit.
Yeah.
And my brother was pissed that I got this and he didn't get this. So we're out in our driveway. I mean, fresh out of the box, a couple minutes after Christmas, I'm out in the driveway with it. I'm riding it around the driveway. And he goes, "Let me see." And he grabs it. That motherfucker took it right out in the street. The car ran right over and crushed it.
Same thing. We got the same story.
That's what I'm saying. It just happened to be kissing. You just made me remember that.
Wow.
Crushed it to pieces. I ran inside crying and shit. I was so upset and pissed.
Damn.
Yeah, that thing's, what's it worth now, Kirsten? It's worth a good chunk of money. I told him about it. I was like, "You know how much that fucking van's worth, dude? $400 on that motherfucker for that little old van." But it worked. It was badass.
Dude, that's so crazy that it happened to you. And it was Kiss related.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Just made me remember that. That's 100%. I've told that story before. So tell me about, we were going to talk about Evel Knievel, because I had mentioned we have one here. We got the crank guy. And I took it out in the driveway here and showed my daughter. And luckily, it showed off. He did a wheelie and shit, and he spun around and popped back
up. There's
a
badass commercial for it, too.
Let's watch it.
Let's see the commercial.
Okay. Mine never did that shit. It's badass, wow. Dude.
That's all I wanted.
Right?
That's all I wanted.
Boom.
So my dad, my biological dad, would come around like once a year. He'd go to my grandpa's house, my grandma and grandpa's house. And, you know, and then, you know, my aunt would say, your dad's here, come over. You know what I mean? After that, he already split with my mom, but he'd come back by every now and then. And one time he just showed up at my school. Cause at night he was a club promoter. He brought Mexican bands into downtown LA and in Orange County, like Santa Ana. He would bring big Mexican bands in. He was a promoter, but during the day he had to pay the rent. That didn't pay so much. He drove like a bobtail, like commercial food. He delivered food to restaurants, like big ass canisters of mayonnaise and ketchup and pickles and shit. He worked on SR Rycroft or whatever. It's a big green truck. And my brother would always talk. She goes, your dad drives a big ass green truck. He would and with a big can and had a big can. He goes, dude, it's he got so a can funny on the to side. Hear
your my brother would always say, your dad drives.
Oh, we would talk shit on each other's dads.
I love it.
Like, fuck your dad. Your dad drives a green truck with a big can on it. And my biological last name is Cano. That's my biological name.
Oh, okay.
And he would say, look at Cano. Cano. Yeah. It's perfect. And then one day he showed up to school like unannounced, and I'm in the playground, and he's just standing there with his green uniform and shit. And I run to him, give him a hug. He gives me $100 bill, dog. I'm in fourth grade.
That's like $1,000.
He gives me $100 bill, and I had to give it to my teacher to save it so I don't lose it. And then another time he came, you know, he took me to Montgomery Ward, which is like a Gemco.
Oh yeah,
but it doesn't have a grocery department. Dude. Montgomery Ward is more like
it's Sears, Sears,
yes,
because it's got all. It's got the you could buy a tractor.
Yes.
A ride mower in Montgomery Ward.
But they didn't have food. But like Gemco.
Right,
Gemco had a supermarket too. So, oh shit.
Look at all the homeless people around Montgomery Ward over here.
So he took me to Montgomery Ward. Dude, he took me to Montgomery Ward and said, you can buy anything you want here. One thing. Anything you want.
Wait, without a price cap? That's what he told you?
And he said anything.
And what'd you go for?
What'd you think I go?
Evil Knievel.
Evil Knievel. Yeah. Dude, that's I could have got a 10-speed or a bike or a dirt bike.
Anything.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I had to have the Evil Knievel toy.
Dude, that's great. Now, okay, so you mentioned he show up at school sometimes, and Kirsten did her research on your old Honeydew episode, and you just briefly mentioned stealing NFL pencils to sell. Dude, we used to collect these all the time, man.
And there's
I would have been the kid buying from you for
so
sure.
So there's another store like Montgomery Ward. It was called Newberry's. Newberry's was just like Montgomery Ward, but just different. And Newberry's had the NFL pencils, and me and my brother would steal them and sell them for 10 cents at school for extra cash.
Those
are the ones,
100%.
Right?
Look
there.
At that.
So I'd be at school like, hey, what do you need? Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What do you need? Chicago Bears?
Boom, and you're selling them for what? 10 cents a 10 pop?
10 cents.
Dude, that's a good hustle. Where are you getting them? From the what
from
store?
From Newberry's.
Newberry's.
Okay. Newberry's. Oh, man.
That's great.
NFL pencils were hot back in the day.
Dude, that's Seattle. Where's the Seattle
Do people still use pencils?
There's the Baltimore. Great question. Yeah, there's the Seahawks ones. I already like that because it always had green and blue on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's the Baltimore Colts? I don't even see it on there.
And then we'd play pencils. You ever play pencils? We'd play pencils
where you
with
break
them.
It?
Yeah, we were playing pencils.
Tell people that don't know. Tell people.
It used to be a very popular game in the 70s and 80s where you'd play pencils. You'd hold your pencil out and then a guy would flick it with the metal, you know, try to hit it with the metal little eraser holder and try to break the pencil. And if he couldn't break it, then it was your turn. It was like that slap show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it evolved into.
What's that, like epic slap? What's it called? Super slap?
Yeah, we used to break pencils. Now you're all breaking each other's face.
And there was guys that were really good. All they need is one or two shots and they're going to break your pencil.
Did you ever do pussy tests with the eraser?
What's that?
That's where a person would take an eraser and they'd rub it on your skin and you just take it until it ripped your skin off and you'd have to yell stop when you couldn't take it anymore.
No,
and we called
no.
it a pussy test.
I remember.
Ah, look, Kirsten's got a pussy test. Go.
Oh my God.
Did you call it a pussy test?
No.
What'd you all call?
I don't know. We were in like kindergarten. I don't think we
Okay, good point. We would sit there and just, and you, somebody would let you do your hand until they were like, okay, no more. And then you have a fucking scar. You have any scars from childhood? Any shit from?
Yeah, my head.
What's that one from? I see it right there. Yeah.
My brother picked me up and threw me, and I went head first into the bed frame.
Oh, and damn, just
cracked
dude.
My head open.
That's a good scar.
Me and my brother have a lot of stories.
School related, you mentioned peachy folders. Now, I never heard of these. So
peachy folders were huge. I guess it was a West Coast thing, but they were like kind of orange, yellowish, mm-hmm. and they had like, it was like a bunch of different sports, basketball. See right there, the one right there, top left. Yeah, you look at that.
Oh, I've seen Remember these those? Before. That's what I never had any, but that's what
and
these
then,
are called.
And then,
huh?
and then people oh, would yeah. draw and make it look like cops chasing some dude. You would draw and make it look like they put a big afro on the tennis player. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or something like that. There you go. Look.
Oh, yeah, right here to the left. That. There it is.
Yeah. 100%. People would always do that. That's hilarious. I would end up taking a bunch, like making a collage of heavy metal bands like Rat, Motley Crue, Kiss, Wasp, you know, once I started getting into junior high, and then put them over my peachy folder and then put clear tape. So it was like a collage.
Like
folder.
You laminated it.
Yes, exactly. I still got a couple of those.
That's great. Right here. Look what we got here.
Yeah. Is this a band you'd put on?
Yeah. I'm 19 right there.
What's your band?
The band's name that was Resistance.
Resistance.
Yeah, Resistance. That was it. We were a speed metal band.
Walk us through who played what here.
Black guy, that's James Watson. Uh-huh. He played guitar. That was my best friend. And then Kent, the guy above him, he was the singer. And Willie, he played bass. And that's Kelly McLaughlin. He played guitar. He was a shredder.
And were you guitar also?
No, I was the drummer. Drums. At this point. This was a speed metal band. And then after the speed metal band, I got sick of playing drums and playing fast. So then me and James, we formed a band called Blackened Kill Symphony. And it was like industrial rap. So he went from playing guitar in a speed metal band and me playing drums in a speed metal band to now I'm like a music producer and he's the rapper.
Oh,
you know,
see.
Once I didn't know he loved rap. I thought he just loved metal. I thought he was just a metalhead. He never brought up rap ever. And when I found out, I looked through his collection, I go, you like rap too? And he goes, fuck yeah, I love rap. I go, dude, let's do a rap project. You know, and he goes, what about the rest of the guys? I go, no, we're not going to quit. Let's just experiment on the side. It'll be like a side project. They started getting a little jealous. Like, what are you guys doing on the side? You guys making some rap shit? Go, we're just experimenting on the side. So and then we put out a demo, but to not piss him off, the band was called Black and Kill Symphony, but on the demo, we put a Resistance production.
That's nice. Kid Rise ego safe.
Oh, dude, we didn't want to piss him off.
Yeah.
And then we ended up just moving to Hollywood and just leaving the speed metal behind. And, you know, we got into rap, industrial. I wanted to make rap that metalheads and new wave people would like. So okay. my rap wasn't like, funky or bluesy or jazzy. It was metal and like Depeche Mode, Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails rap.
I'd like to actually hear that. You still have some of that old stuff?
Dude, I I still make that kind of stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
In that same genre?
Yeah. Oh, I got an album on YouTube. It's a weird kind of album because I ended up producing a lot of bands growing up that never got signed or anything, but I was always doing these projects, had all these projects. And so once I started working with Danny Lohner from Nine Inch Nails, he's one of the best producers out there. I mean, as far as this genre is concerned, this kind of music that I like, he's perfect. And he's one of my best friends. Yeah. We started making some tracks and I put out an album. It was like, it comprised of three bands that I put together. It's an album with 15 songs. It's called Mix Flick of Death and Devotion. You can find it on YouTube. And it's 15 songs from three bands, Smoke Serpent, Hook Thieves, and Temple of Mirror. And they're all mixed up. And each song on YouTube is cut to like the greatest movies ever. So it's 15 like movie trailers with my songs to go with them and re-edited and recut. My film producer, Michael Plaster, he edited. I would say, take this movie, take this song, put them together, mash them up. And he does like an amazing job with it. So, I mean, it's been up on YouTube since I released that 2017. Just look up Eddie Bravo mixed flick of death and devotion.
All right.
So I call it mixed flick is because it's like instead of a mixtape,
yeah,
it's a there's a bunch of movies.
I love that.
The Shining, The Crow, Enter the Dragon, Saving Private Ryan, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Memento, just all the greatest with Scarface. I cut a song to Scarface, man. So the visually, even if you don't like the music, it's like an hour and 15 minutes. Just mute it and just leave it on. Yeah. And then you can hang out with your friends and you could watch the greatest scenes of the movie.
Right.
But you don't have to pay attention because you could have conversations. Because if you're watching a movie, now you can't talk.
I love that.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a good thing to just like at a party when everyone's talking, there's all this noise, put mixed flick of death and devotion up, mute it, don't hear the music, or play whatever music you want. Play your favorite music. It's super entertaining. You get hooked. You're like, it's just the best. You see the whole movie in 3 minutes.
So, that's great.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that you leaned into sort of producing music like your biological dad.
He didn't produce music. He
brought bands
promoted.
In,
he
brought promoted.
He was a promoter.
But still, you're in that world.
Yeah, I'm promoting jiu-jitsu. I do that with jiu-jitsu. Yeah. You know, I put jiu-jitsu shows on. He put on Mexican
But music
mantra.
Was important to you then, huh?
Yes. When I saw that was it. That so and football.
It wasn't
football.
Just about the love. You wanted to be in a band to get that love, too.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. You know, I wanted to live the rock star lifestyle. Right. You know what I mean? I just wanted, you know, everyone was chasing. Everybody that wants to be in a band, they want to have all these girls all over them. And they want to be adored. They want people screaming for them. They want to go backstage and it's just heaven and everyone's partying. And you know, that's what everybody wanted. You know, that's what your brainwashed into thinking that. And, you know, I was caught up in it. They got me good, man.
They got me good.
They got me good, man. Yeah, I realize now that, wow, I was totally brainwashed into wanting to be a rock star. Like if I could do my life again and know everything, I would not try to be no rock star. I would make music, but I wouldn't want to be a rock star. Cause you know, if I would have got signed in the '90s, that was when I was really trying to get signed and I almost did. I had record label interest. We had a manager. We had a Rachel Matthews from Hollywood Basic come check out the band. And, when we first moved to Hollywood, me and James, we said, fuck the speed metal. Let's move to Hollywood. Let's do this new industrial rap shit. And we're going to, so it was just me and him. I put together all the music. We made a demo. It was just me and him. He did the raps. I sang a little bit, you know, but it was like Linkin Park. This is 1991, 92. And the plan was, okay, well, we have a demo tape. You could buy a book with all the record label addresses and who to make it out to. You go to a Guitar
at
Center,
Sam,
get that book.
I used to go get it. Sam French was the same thing for agents and managers.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So what I did was, the plan was, we're in Hollywood. I'm living in this tiny little, right off Hollywood Boulevard and Sycamore. That building was built like in Tartaria times. It's old and shit. Dude, it was like, we lived in a, imagine lit two guys living in a hotel.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I had a curtain that I stapled to the ceiling. Oh, this is your side, this is my side. And we mailed out all the tapes and the plan was we're going to mail them all out and then put together a band at the same time. But we got the record label interest right away. I'll never forget that phone call. Rachel Matthews, she's legit in the music business. She goes, she was like, I'm interested. What are you guys playing? I go, we didn't have a band yet. Like, oh shit, probably like in a month. I'm like, damn. She goes, okay, let me know. And so then I booked a gig really quick at the Roxy. Anybody could book a gig at the Roxy or the Whiskey. You just got to pay. It's like pay to play. They're like, you're going to sell 100 tickets, you know? So you pay to play. But so I set up a gig. I called a bunch of, like put together a band real quick, got on the recycler and go, we got a band with record label interest. Band with record label interest looking for a drummer that's into this. Nine Inch Nails, rap. You know, it's like Nine Inch Nails, you know, Ice-T, Slayer, Depeche Mode, that kind of shit. And we got a drummer, we got a keyboardist, I got an old guitar player. We put together a band really quick. There was so much going on in the band, we were not tight at all. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget this, I'm so nervous. I'm like, oh my God, it's finally happening. I'm going to get a record deal. Rachel Matthews, she's coming. She came in with Steve Jones. They're sitting right there with the Rocks. I'm like, oh my fucking God. I got so nervous. I had fucking diarrhea in the backstage. I just had the runs, dog. I was so nervous. And then we go out and the keyboard player that we got, We got up the recycler. We said, anytime you see a band with label interest, people jump on that, right? So we had this key. He was so certain we were going to get signed. He got a limo, dude. He came in a limo with Chicks, the keyboard player.
Yeah. Guess who else they got? They got his ass.
Oh, too. Dude. So in the middle of the very first song, the
keyboard player.
In the middle of the very first song, we're playing. There was nobody there. We didn't have a following. So it was empty. And they're like sitting in the back. In the middle of the song, they get up and walk the fuck out. And I never heard from them again. Wow. And we're on stage. Oh. Dude, I'm on stage having like a heart attack. Yeah. I mean, we got to keep playing. Diarrhea. The limo driver left. He goes,
he took them with him.
He's like, hey, we're out of here. You guys are getting shit. He probably made a deal with him. He goes, dude, if we get a record deal, you're going to be my limo driver, like permanent limo.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So then we had to go back to the drawing board and get tight. And so we weren't tight. We sounded like shit.
All right, let's jump. I got a couple more things before we get you out of here. Let's hear about
food stamps.
Yeah, tell me about this.
When I was 10, my stepdad and my mom got back together when I was 5. So from, you know, until I was 5, I was at my grandma's house most of the time. We lived there, and a little bit with my biological dad. Got my mom an apartment in downtown LA while he was married. He was trying to divorce his wife, leave his kids and shit, but he never did. So my mom went back to Orange County to my grandma's house. And then at 5, now I'm living with my stepdad. So from the ages of 5 to 10, those were the dark ages with my stepdad. But he left at 10. Me and my brother come back from a Boy Scout trip and my mom's beat up. And we're like, what the fuck? What happened? She's like, she explained how he beat the fuck out of her, dragged her out into the front yard by her hair. My uncle lived next door. He came out with a shotgun. They called the cops and they arrested him, right? And then they arrested him. And when they released him, he went back to Mexico. So he disappeared. So when we got back from a Boy Scout trip, me and my brother were like, and my brother didn't like him either. So when we found out, like, we were like, oh my God, mom's fucked up. And she told us what had happened. And I was like, is he coming back? And she goes, no, he ain't coming back ever. Fuck that one. And I was like, okay, hope you get better, mom. So me and my brother walked to our room because we shared a room. As soon as we closed the door, we both started jumping on our beds. So I'm like, we're free! We're free! Because when he got home from work, yeah, we had to be home, dog. Yeah. He made us do chores.
Like that you're respectful enough to know your mom's up physically abused and crying. You're like, all right, mom. And then you're like,
fuck. Dude, we're like, fuck. Yeah, he used to treat us like slaves. We had to make orange juice for him, so we had to sit there.
Nuh-uh.
And you know those little plastic things where you do that? He would make orange juice.
Son of a bitch.
So, and it was fresh squeeze, and I would take sips out of it. I made that shit. And then I'd have to fill it back up with water so he didn't notice. So I'd take sips and I put a little water in. I'm like, fuck that. I made this shit. And you know what he got us for Christmas one year?
What?
An electric orange juice maker.
For him. Yeah.
Yeah. He has to go, for you. Not for you. Yeah. It'll be easier for you guys. It was an electric one. He got it for us. We were happy. We're like, it's gonna be easier now.
Oh shit. Look, it's a Gemco, it says. It's a Gemco juicer. Never heard of Gemco in my life till today. So now it's everywhere.
When my stepdad was around, he was actually a Porsche mechanic in Newport Beach. He was one of the best Porsche mechanics, you know, Mexican Porsche mechanic. And he was, I remember Strauss and Newport Beach Porsche, the two dealers were bidding for him. And I'll never forget he wanted $2,000 a week cash. And one of them, Strauss, I think, they said, okay, boom, we'll give you $2,000. He was a really good Porsche mechanic and a BMW mechanic. But then he beat my mom up. He leaves. He disappears. Now, fuck, we're broke as fuck. Now my mom's supporting 3 kids with $150. So she applied for food stamps, and we got it for 1 month. And then they said, then she got like a promotion right at that time. So then we got it for 1 month. But when it comes to food, growing up as a kid in the 80s, it's all about cereal. Lucky Charms, Honeycomb, yeah. Cookie Crisp, Tricks, all that yes. shit, right?
Tricks, so,
but
yeah.
My mom wouldn't get us that. She would get us toasted oats because if she got us a box of like Fruity Pebbles, I'll finish that shit in one day.
Yeah, yeah.
One day. No Fruity doubt. Pebbles, no those boxes doubt. Were too small. Yeah, yeah, they needed to make giant box, but they didn't.
The family size didn't exist back then. Yeah.
Cocoa Pebbles, they were too small. Yeah. So she wouldn't, every now and then she would get, okay, Honeycomb or something. But me and my brother would just, we would just go right through. Captain Crunch, are you kidding? So when we went to we got food stamps. My mom, I'll never forget. We're at Vons in Santa Ana on Bristol. I think it was Bristol and like Edinger. There was a Vons there.
Put the Fruit Hoops back.
She
y'all.
Said, no, she said, we're getting no, no, she said, loops, yeah, she goes, she said, she looked at us and she goes, get whatever you want.
And then she went out. A couple of those moments in your life.
She took off and got whatever she wanted. And me and my brother were just in the cereal. We got everything, yeah, dog. We got everything. Peanut butter, Captain Crunch, we got it all.
Peanut butter, Captain Crunch. I forgot about Smurf, Mr. T.
All that shit.
Damn, Cookie Crisp was the best. Cookie Crisp was great. Like, that's good
chocolate
stuff.
Chocolate chip cookies for breakfast. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah, for breakfast. Yeah. Look at
but
that.
But that only happened once, and then they took away our food stamps.
This is a great episode, man. Thank you for doing this.
Thank
that's
you for
a fun way to go out.
I love
brother.
The idea, man. This is just talking about old stories. Yeah, I love it.
Nostalgia. Promote whatever you'd like one more time.
Go to propen.com. There's an Eddie Bravo line. We got an Electric Cherry. We got a Dead Orchard. We got flavors based on jujitsu moves. And yeah, that's about it.
You got the guillotine in there? You got the guillotine in there?
No, I
Twister?
Don't. Twister. I do one. Twister oh, you lemon. Do? Okay. Lemon Twister. Lemon right. Twister.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
For coming on.
Appreciate it.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Talk to y'all next week.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.